Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. This is a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. We are live here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us today. Some encouraging news for Romeo Langford in the NBA draft. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a few minutes. But he has been invited to the Green Room for Thursday, June 20th at the NBA draft in Brooklyn. And if you're saying, what in the world's the Green Room? We'll tell you a little bit more about it and why it's such a big deal. Potentially some really good news for Romeo Langford coming up here in just a bit. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us. Let's jump right in today with the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll head that off with Romeo Langford being invited to the Green Room. We'll also talk some recruiting tidbits. Trey Kaufman, another big scholarship offer, a Big Ten scholarship offer, a school in the state of Indiana. Can you guess who it is? We'll talk about Trey Kaufman's recruiting coming up in just a few minutes on the program. Also, some other recruiting notes. Anthony Leal, he picked up another scholarship offer yesterday. And Indiana basketball and their social media team that we talk about so much in the offseason, hard at work. First offseason video, I guess, kind of gearing toward next year, not to do with Romeo Langford or Juwan Morgan, about Joey Brunk. And showing him and some of his off-season work was posted yesterday, or actually I think earlier this morning, just about an hour ago before we came on. So you can check that out. We'll talk some about that in the headlines coming up here in just a moment. Those will be what we'll do in the first segment. Then later in the program, Stu Jackson of the Hoosier.com will join us. We'll dig into some of the topics we're talking about in segment one with Stu, Romeo Langford being invited to the Green Room, Joey Brunk, and some other things for next year's IU basketball team. Later in the program, Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, he's going to join us for his weekly segment. He won't be in studio today. Instead, he'll join us by phone. He's actually at the IHSA Golf State Tournament up near Greenwood, Indianapolis area. And we'll catch up with him on a number of topics from his location there today on the program. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, our time for our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The big news, Romeo Langford has been invited to the Green Room for the NBA draft, which will take place 1 week and 1 day from this evening. Why is that such a big news? The Green Room is a staging area in front of the NBA draft podium where players, families, and agents await Commissioner Adam Silver's announcement of a player's name who's been drafted by an NBA team. I'm reading that from a Jonathan Gavone ESPN.com story. I'll go on to continue reading. The process of deciding which players to invite to the draft involves communication with general managers of teams picking throughout the first round. This is to ensure that players aren't sitting for very long under the bright lights before a national television audience as the second round approaches. Continuing on reading this story, quote, receiving an invitation is considered a positive sign for a player's draft stock, although there have been some instances in the past of prospects falling to the second round while sitting in the Green Room. So basically what it tells you is that while we're not hearing a lot in this time about Romeo Langford because he's not doing a lot of the workouts that other players are doing,
things are positive for him, and I think you had to suspect that when you see him 12, 13, 14, 15 in a lot of the mock drafts out there. Yes, he's lower in some, but the majority of him have him in that range. And so that's good news because there's positive vibe about Romeo Langford. And also, when the organizers of the NBA draft that work for the NBA, when they're getting set up and making plans and talking to, again, those general managers and others involved in the process throughout the first round, they're hearing Romeo Langford's name. His name is being mentioned. He would not get invited to the green room. Again, there are instances where a player has slipped out of the first round or a player has slipped farther into the first round than what they are projected to go or what even the organizers of the draft are hearing that they might go. But nonetheless, I think it's a really good sign that Romeo Langford is being considered by a number of NBA teams, that the prospectus for him to get drafted in the first round is absolutely great, and that the prospectus for him maybe even to be a late lottery pick is still a great possibility. So big news, not huge news. I expected he would be there. I really did, and I think some others did as well. But, again, it's definitely at this late stage, as we're about a week away now, good news to hear something like that, that there is buzz about you by the NBA teams. Your name's been given to the NBA as someone that should be invited to the green room. So pretty cool stuff. It also means for viewers like you and I that are going to be watching the draft here at home, and it also means that for us that maybe don't watch the draft on a regular basis, which that would, I'm sure, include a lot of you. We may watch the first couple picks or, you know, watch it on SportsCenter or something like that, just the highlights, but never the entire draft. I would say is a safe bet unless you're just an absolute diehard NBA fan. This will make the evening a lot more fun because not only is Romeo in contention to be picked, but you're going to see his reaction. You're going to see his family. He's going to be walking up on the stage. There comes a point later in the first round and in the second round where not all of those guys are there. I mean, guys aren't going to risk it that think they have a chance to get embarrassed in the green room or at the draft. That essentially end up not being picked by an NBA team. So good news for Romeo Langford, good news for us. It'll be a lot more fun to follow and see his reaction and that sort of thing. A local guy headed to the NBA draft in a week. So that's the big news today. And we'll talk more about that in the program. There are just a little more background on that. There were 9 players originally selected for the NBA draft green room that happened last week. Zion Williamson, obviously, Ja Morant, Darius Garland, I'm just naming Reddish, Hayes, Hunter, White, Barrett. Those are just some of the 9 names, most of the 9 names that were initially announced as players that had been invited to the NBA draft's green room. 3 more yesterday, Nasir Little, Romeo Langford, and Tyler Hero, were invited to that, and then it looks like since that announcement, there have been 3 more players, and I don't have their names in front of me, and there are 5 more expected by the end of the week. So if you add that up, you're looking at about 20 players or so, give or take, that are expected to be actually on hand that received invites to the green room at the draft. So good news for Romeo. It's one of those things you wonder, will he be there? With how he spread out among some of the different mock drafts, you know, what's he really hearing from the teams and what's his feeling about going. But when you get an invite, you basically have to go, and it normally means good news. Not always. There are examples out there, as the story points out, but it's really good news. I'd much rather see him get the opportunity to be there and maybe slide a few picks, even with, you know, his face on national television, than I would know that he's not a selection for the green room as well. So good news for Romeo Langford. We are 1 week, 1 day away, again, from the NBA draft, which is going to be ultra fun this year, given that he is in the middle of things. Recruiting notes, a number of things to get to. Anthony Leal, a senior to be at Bloomington South, scholarship offer yesterday during a visit to Cincinnati. They had a big day yesterday. Not only did they offer Anthony Leal, they got a commitment from Mike Saunders, who is an Indianapolis native who played at Lawrence North for his younger years of high school before transferring to an academy-type school out in Utah. He's a point guard, really, really quick, That quickness is what keeps him in the Division One, even the high major Division One range as a player. I think Indiana had watched him and maybe flirted with him a bit, but always interesting to see a guy with Hoosier State connections and where they go on to play. But he committed to Cincinnati yesterday. Anthony Leal just got a scholarship offer, one of many offers on his list now in addition to IU. Speaking of recruiting, Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek, man, this guy is going to be a household name on this program for the next few years. Indiana offered him a scholarship at team camp on Saturday. That really was no surprise to anyone. He has played well. He's gotten better. He's gotten bigger. He's even had some injuries to deal with, or at least a small injury to deal with this spring, which really hasn't hampered his hotness as a prospect, his attractiveness as a college prospect. But he's back playing with Silver Creek this month. He'll get back into the AAU, the travel team stuff, I'm sure, next month. But an offer from IU on Saturday, which was big. He had been offered by Xavier about a week and a half before that. Yesterday, during a visit to the campus of Purdue, Trey Kaufman was offered by the Boilermakers. So no surprise at all that that happens, that happened, but interesting to see it all happen so quick for him. He is absolutely, his recruiting is absolutely skyrocketing. And I think that the way his recruiting is skyrocketing is resembling what his game and his skills are doing since the trip to the state finals for Silver Creek. And I think that we're only going to see him take major steps between now and the next high school basketball season with some of his inside-out skills for the Dragons. I think this is just the first. I know he's got a number of scholarship offers now, but I think this guy's going to have more and more scholarship offers. He's the type of player that, given his youngness, given his age, given his grade, and given how he's projecting out and things that he's getting better at and the word that you hear about him out there, he's the type of player that I feel like will land a lot of scholarship offers, even from schools out of the area, you know, even from the high major programs. Who knows the level that ultimately it may end, but definitely a hot player in the recruiting world right now. Thankfully for us, he's right here in our backyard in Southern Indiana, another great talent to follow for the next few high school seasons, in addition to a number of other really good players. And I was talking about that last night at Summer League with someone. I mean, we've been blessed. Obviously, Romeo Langford is a generational type player, but Kobe Barnes followed him up with a really good senior year last year. There were other really good senior players. And looking at high school basketball for next season, obviously Silver Creek and Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby, they take a lot of the stardom because of their state championship last year, but there is so much talent. Trey Coleman at Jeffersonville had a great junior all-star series. Will Lovings Watts at Jeffersonville is just a tremendous player who is going to get, and already is getting, Division I interest. He's going to get some scholarships coming down the road, I believe not too far, and when he gets just a tad older. Jake Heidbreeder, he's maybe has had the best individual performance that I've seen of the summer in Summer League against a very good Louisville male team. And I'm leaving guys off, that just highlighting that this is a really good time right now for prospects, for high-level players, for big-time individual players that are going to add a lot to the high school basketball scene. So anybody who thought Romeo graduated, the area is going to drop off, you know, we might have some D3 players, some NAI players, wrong. We've got a number of really, really interesting prospects right now. Division One prospects, high major prospects, guys that are going to play mid-major or above, I believe, in college. And it's going to be a really fun high school basketball season next year. The taste of ball you get in June has been really exciting and kind of a reminder that, man, we have some really good teams and some really good individual players ahead of us to follow, which is just going to be a lot of fun. Highlight video from the IU basketball social media team on Joey Brunk. The tweet was, "Big Boy Brunk, welcome to B-Town, Joey Brunk." And it's kind of a neat highlight clip going through some of his workouts, both on and off the floor. And I guess you could call it kind of a hype video for the off season, if there is such a thing. The IU staff, I think, clearly understands IU fans are crazy. IU fans want to know what's going on. IU fans follow recruiting. IU fans want to know what's going on at the team camp. They want to know what's going on with everything. And so putting out these videos and photos with some good music behind it, obviously, is interesting to fans to kind of fill the off season the best they can. So Joey Brunk, the first video that really has been, to me, focused on next season. There have been some tremendous content about Romeo Langford here in the recent days from the IU people as he kind of has a send-off to the NBA. There was some Juwan Morgan season highlights and those sorts of things, but now kind of focusing to next year with Joey Brunk, and it's going to be interesting to see what else they put forward here over the next few weeks and really even months. It's going to be fun to see. That's the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk more about Trey Kaufman, more about Romeo Langford, and obviously more about IU basketball with Stu Jackson of TheHoosier.com coming up next on this Wednesday edition of The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Stu Jackson of TheHoosier.com returns this week for another Wednesday segment. And, Stu, we have plenty to get to today. I want to start with Romeo Langford. Some really good news for him being invited to the NBA Draft's green room for the draft next Thursday in Brooklyn. It's not a for sure sign, Stu, but as I was mentioning in the first segment, kind of describing what the green room is, it is a really good thing for him that his name is clearly being mentioned by some of the front office personnel that's in communication with the folks running the NBA draft. His name is definitely being mentioned as someone who could go in the first round and perhaps even higher into the lottery.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely an indication that, you know, as I'm sure you talked about in your segment, that, you know, he's pretty much guaranteed to be a first-round pick at this point. I don't think there was ever any question that he was, but, you know, given where he was in the, you know, mock draft projections and things like that. But you're absolutely right. It is a good sign for him. You just look at the 20 guys who were invited to the green room in last year's draft class, 14 of 20 were drafted in the lottery range, so that's 70% of the invitees. 17 of 20 were taken before the 20s range, you know, the 20 to 30. So it's a good sign for him. And again, that kind of falls in line with, you know, sort of the, latest projections as far as mock drafts go. So, he's definitely in good shape, I would say. And obviously the numbers back it up here heading into the NBA draft.
Stu, I know that Romeo's path to the draft here the last couple months has been different from a lot of players that are projected to go in the first round or projected to go in a similar range as Romeo because of his hand injury. He's been doing some workouts out at the Kobe Bryant Mamba facility in L.A., but really as far as workouts for teams, we haven't heard anything. We don't know a whole bunch if or what anything is going on that side of things. That said, with the injury, things could be different even after the draft, I guess, once he is fully evaluated by whatever team selects him and sees what he needs to do to continue along the rehab process. But does a player that goes, let's say, late in the lottery or anywhere through the end of the first round, do players in that range typically go to the summer league in Vegas or play any summer league NBA basketball? I've had a couple people say, hey, when Romeo gets drafted, if he's healthy enough, will we see him in the summer league activities that are now, you know, widespread on ESPN and other channels? And that's a question I wasn't sure of. Do players in that range go to the summer league and play?
Yeah, that's something that
Stu, I don't know. I think we've lost you. Are you still there?
Whoops. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Got you now, yeah.
Okay, sorry about that.
No problem.
So, yeah, that's definitely something that I think we can expect to see. You've seen guys like, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, notably, who have been, taken in, the top six, top ten, all that, participate in the summer league after they've been drafted very high. So, I think you can certainly count on that. If a player's taken in the lottery range, and really, you know, no matter where they are in the first round. Like you mentioned, I think it's dependent on, you know, Romeo's health and how he feels. But he was set to have the cast taken off of his right hand, which is the hand that had the thumb with the torn ligament that he played through last year. He was set to have that taken off after the week after the NBA draft combine. And so, you know, assuming everything is going as scheduled with his recovery and his rehab, you know, I'm not privy to, you know, the exact timeline and obviously what the, you know, doctors and trainers have told him and things like that. But assuming that, you know, he follows doctor's orders and everything goes as planned with what they've, you know, assigned him as far as his schedule and what team doctors want to see out of him or want him to do with that stuff. You know, he should be participating in the summer league if healthy. Now, you know, there's summer leagues that are in Las Vegas, Utah, even California. The Sacramento Kings had one last year too. So that's all going to, you know, where exactly he plays in the summer league is going to be dependent on who he gets drafted by and where they're headed. But I'm sure, again, assuming he's healthy, you can expect him to be participating.
Talking with Stu Jackson of the Hoosier.com, Romeo Langford, the subject to begin our chat today. Stu, I know you keep a very watchful eye on everything related to IU basketball and Romeo Langford. Do you have an opinion? You know, you read all the mock drafts. You're in touch with a lot of people. Where do you think he might go? I mean, 12 to 20-something, you'll find him listed by a lot of the different mock drafts. I think the most of them have him somewhere 13, 14, maybe I think up to 18 or 17 I saw here in some of the recent ones. You have a gut feeling? You have an idea on what you would project or predict for what could happen a week from now on Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to, take a, you know, stab at where what I think ends up being the landing spot for Romeo, my gut tells me the Detroit Pistons. Now, you know, they're picking 15th, which is just outside of the lottery range, and I'm sure that's not what Indiana fans want to hear, but just from everything I read and everything I've, you know, heard, that just seems like it would be, you know, the best fit for him and perhaps the most logical destination. Maybe the Miami Heat in a close second, but, you know, the Pistons just don't have a ton of depth at the wing position and at least on the roster right now. And so, you know, they could really use someone of Romeo's skill set. That's something that's been talked about a lot, you know, just by different experts and their mock draft projections and whatnot. So, I could definitely see him ending up on the Pistons. You know, that's probably my, you know, my biggest inclination as far as where he might go next week. But, you know, as I'm sure you can attest to, we've seen some pretty crazy things in the NBA draft over the years. And, you know, there's no telling what will happen, you know, during this year's draft, other than, you know, I think it's a, you know, surefire thing that, you know, he's going to be, you know, taken in the first round, likely the top 20.
Stu Jackson of TheHoosier.com is my guest. I want to jump right to Trey Kaufman and recruiting for a moment. Obviously, the team camp was over the weekend. Silver Creek played. Trey Kaufman was offered by Indiana. Yesterday, he received a offer from Purdue, no surprise, on his visit to the campus of Purdue's in West Lafayette. He is really, we know he's a good player. We know his game is building, his skills are building for the final few years of his high school career. He's got a lot of time left to perfect things and get ready for the next level. But his recruitment is absolutely on fire right now. Xavier offered a few weeks ago, IU on Saturday, Purdue on Tuesday. I expect more will be coming in addition to the long list of mid-majors and others that have already pulled the trigger early and wanted to jump in with him. But he is definitely a trending player right now in the recruiting world locally in the Midwest in the Big Ten, and it's going to be interesting if he continues to develop and continues to get the notoriety that he has at a young age, how far this recruiting might span. Will he be able down the road, if things continue to attract the best of the best, the blue bloods in college basketball, in addition to the really good Big Ten and local programs?
Absolutely. while I don't have any input in the rankings, I would not be surprised to see him have a national level recruitment, or at least get to that point if he develops like I think he will, and I'm sort of like you think he will. Just a tremendously skilled player who, you know, reminds me a little bit of Trace Jackson Davis with, you know, a little bit more of a little bit more development as far as his, you know, perimeter game goes, but and he's but I think, you know, Trace was a little bit more refined when it came to, you know, playing in the post. So that's really the main difference between the two. But otherwise, you see, you know, a lot of similarities developmentally in terms of, you know, the kinds of players both of those guys are, and, you know, how Trey could project. So it would not be surprising to me if he ends up being a nationally ranked kid if he continues to make the progress that he already has and ends up attracting a lot of high-level attention here in the coming months.
Stu, I know you were at the team camp on Saturday. We've covered a lot of some of the prospects that were there and the great list of teams that participated. And we also just generally have talked about why Archie Miller returning a team camp event to the IU program and the IU campus is such a big recruiting tool, and it's obvious, I think, to anybody that follows it, what the difference an event like that can make as far as your relationships, not only with prospects, but with also high school head coaches go. You got to see Silver Creek, I'm sure, over the weekend. You're always front and center to cover that event. There are some rules that are a little different if you're out covering Trey Kaufman and his high school team or his AAU team. At another event, you can always interview and do video and get highlights and you know, talk to him afterwards and get his immediate comments on, you know, hey, you just got offered by Indiana. Tell us what that means to you. But because it's on a college campus and because it's got a affiliation with the head coach of that school, there's some different regulations and some things that Indiana specifically wants where it doesn't become a recruiting type event as far as, you know, reporters there and impromptu press conferences and things like that. So I know you really didn't get a chance to speak with him at that event, but how did he play? And I don't think anybody in attendance, probably from Trey to his coaches to media that follow all this that were there as well, were surprised that an offer came at that event.
Yeah, it wasn't a surprise at all. I personally thought he was the best player at the entire camp based on everybody I got the chance to watch. I kind of touched on a little bit earlier some of the things that he does well, but he certainly made a strong impression, and I think it was one of those things where, you know, both Trey and Silver Creek as a whole, you know, just were tremendous the whole weekend. You know, pretty big margins of victory, you know, routinely 20-30 points. So, you know, they certainly played well, and I think, you know, made the most of their opportunities, both Trey and Silver Creek again. And so, he definitely made a strong impression and showed a complete game. Like I said, you know, playing in the post, he's, you know, a work in progress there, but you're seeing, you know, some promising signs and, you know, he was knocking down threes, just, you know, doing everything that you want to see in a stretch for, or, you know, someone who can maybe play the 5-2, you know, in the Big Ten and perhaps, and also, you know, in any other Power 5 conference as well.
We're talking with Stu Jackson of TheHoosier.com. Who else stood out to you? I know we've discussed some of the prospects that were there earlier in the week, but anybody behind Trey Kaufman? You mentioned you thought he was the best player at the event, which I think is a very strong comment as well and a strong accolade for Trey. But who else stood out to you Saturday at some of those high school summer games on IU's campus?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, there were definitely a lot of talented kids who, you know, made the trip down, got a chance to see, you know, Pierre Brooks and Jalen Washington. Washington plays for Gary Westside, Northwest Indiana. He's a kid who's, you know, 6'10", 7 foot, somewhere in that range. Just, you know, long, tall, athletic, who I think has, you know, a ton of potential. Somebody who, you know, really stood out to me. you know, Brooks as well. He's a kid who, you know, is just really looks physically mature for his age, and somebody that, you know, he definitely looks the part. You know, it's not every day that you see guys who are just, you know, as built as sturdily as he was or as he looked on Saturday. And so those were certainly a couple of you know, standouts from camp. There were several others as well, but you know, just kind of off the top of my head, those are guys who I felt like you know, really put their best foot forward, and you know, similar to Trey, made some good impressions, and also you know, did some good things. It was also great seeing Jalen Blackman from Marion. Of course, that last name should be a familiar one to IU fans because he's got an older brother, VJ, who is entering his senior year with the program as a walk-on. And then, of course, his oldest brother, James, played for the Hoosiers previously and is currently playing professionally on the international level. So, that pretty much covers it as far as the guys that I was pretty impressed with. I should mention that Washington is a 2022 kid, so... and actually, I should correct that. He's 6'7", 190, but still very long and athletic, and you know, could might not be done growing. So those are all guys who really impressed and stood out to me.
Stu Jackson of the Hoosier.com with us. Stu, final topic before we let you go. I mentioned in segment one that Joey Brunk was featured in a highlight video going through some skills and some drills and some workouts. Look like at Cook Hall, IU's practice facility. Those are always kind of fun treats in the off season for fans to see what's going on, at least a little inside look, and also how some of the players are progressing in the off season. So we have that to look forward to as we have a long time until the 2019-2020 season. But as you see players like Joey Brunk and Trace Jackson Davis and Armon Franklin report to campus or return to campus for work and off-season development, it's always fun to start thinking ahead about the roster for next season. And it sure looks to me, not just from the video, I mean, that was just, you know, highlights and things like that, but it sure looks to me, based on a lot of what Archie Miller said at Huber's a few weeks ago, and just knowing Joey Brunk the way that we do and have followed him over the years, even before he was at Butler as a high school player at Southport, he might really have the opportunity to come into this team as a leader, which is crazy to say because he's new and incoming, but as an older player, as a graduate transfer, someone that's actually going to be there for 2 years, which is a little different situation for a typical graduate transfer, because of the situations he's been in and because of how he handles himself, I kind of expect almost some immediate leadership from him, especially when you look at who's departing the team that as he arrives.
Yeah, I thought the most compelling comment that Archie made at Huber's last month was just how he talked about and praised Joey's personality. Just this infectious type of personality that, you know, people are drawn toward, that, you know, Archie actually said will be, you know, really needed or much needed, or that, you know, this roster could really use, which I thought was interesting. So there's no question. There's definitely a leadership void with you know, Juwan Morgan moving on, one, and of course Zach McRobert, IU's co-captains from last year. And so there's definitely a chance for Brunk to move right into a similar type of role and you know, fill that void. You know, he's someone who just, you know, has a, just, you know, carries himself in a, and goes about himself in a very positive way, and has a, you know, a great work ethic and attitude. So I think it's something that'll be contagious, and you'll see, you know, really pay dividends for IU. Of course, we won't get our first look at that until maybe Hoosier Hysteria, whenever that gets announced, and of course, you know, later on in the regular season in November, and even exhibition play if IU schedules those. But there's no question he's got a role that he can play, and he'll, I think he'll fill it right away.
Stu Jackson of the Hoosier.com, part of the Rivals and Yahoo Sports Network. Stu, as always, great stuff. Thanks for covering a lot of ground with us, and we'll do it again very soon.
Sounds good. Always appreciate you having me on, Matt. Thank you.
Absolutely. Stu Jackson, a great job covering all things IU, not just basketball, but everything at the Hoosier.com. So check it out. A lot of the things we talk about, a lot of the points we discuss with Stu, you can read more about there. And, of course, coverage of Romeo Langford in the NBA draft is something that we'll continue to talk about, and I'm sure Stu will continue to write about as well as we get ready to see something, at least for this part of the state, very historic to see a local guy get the opportunity, very likely to get drafted at some point late in the lottery, definitely in the first round. That will be a lot of fun. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll talk wrap-up of the high school baseball season. Of course, there's, I don't even know if you call it a rumor at this point, but there's reports that Joe Decker, Silver Creek coach, is leaving Silver Creek for a big-time program in the Nashville, Tennessee area. We'll talk about that some as well, and other local topics as Craig joins us from the IHSAA State Golf Tournament as well. So a lot to cover with Craig in the next segment coming your way here on a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday edition of the program. Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune, he's the sports editor, is my guest. And Craig, you're not with me in studio today, which means you must be out covering something. I know you're at the IHSA Golf State Finals, so let's start with that. Give us a rundown of where you're at and who locally we still have to follow in that tournament.
Absolutely, Matt. Yeah, it's basically just Floyd Central up here, and we're at the beautiful Prairie View Golf Club in Carmel. It's just a pretty gorgeous course, and Floyd had a wonderful first day and was all alone in fourth place after the first day, and got solid rounds from all the first four guys in the lineup. Harrison Eads, the senior, and Christian McIntosh led the way as a sophomore, and Reese Compton and Judd, another sophomore, Judson Duke. So all had solid days yesterday, and they're approaching being finished with the front nine here, and I think they were probably a few more bogeys than they would have liked here early on, but they're still in fifth place last I looked, so they're hanging right in there.
Well, good luck to the Highlanders golf team competing in the final rounds of the state tournament. Craig, let's wrap up baseball. We had Silver Creek, the lone team from the area that advanced to the semi-state round, and they lose a heartbreaker, a 2-1 final score to a solid Edgewood team that really was anybody's game there, went into extra innings, bottom of the ninth inning, Edgewood able to get that winning run across the plate. Overall, a great season for Silver Creek, but as always, anytime it's a walk-off situation, it's a tough spot to be in, and that's what happened to the Dragons Saturday afternoon in Mooresville.
Right. I mean, you're right. I mean, it doesn't get any more heartbreaking than how that played out with, if a guy gets a line drive, you tip your cap and go home, and you can handle that maybe a little bit better, but to see a miscue happen and the game decided on that, it's tough, and especially for a guy like Tyler that pitched a whale of a ball game and into the ninth inning, and you just hate to see it, but the kid had an excellent, amazing four-year career and great senior year, and he'll go, like Coach Joe Decker said, he'll go on to have a great career at USI, where I think they want him to continue to kind of be a two-way player where he can, be an impact arm whether that's out of the bullpen early in his career or maybe he earns a starting role even. But, and a guy that could probably help him in the field and hit 400 for the Dragons this year. So he can obviously swing the bat a little bit as well.
talking with Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. A lot of what we talk about is either available now to read about or will be something that Craig and his sports team are writing about at newsandtribune.com/sports. So if you're a subscriber or not a subscriber, you should be one. Make sure you check that out with all their great coverage of Southern Indiana high school sports and more. One interesting topic about Silver Creek and about the baseball season has been one I think a lot of us have been following. There was actually a published report that came out before the Semi-State game that Silver Creek coach Joe Decker, who's done just a superb job building that program and seeing success through for that program, that was going to leave. He's going to take a job in Mount Juliet High School. Apparently, it's from everything I've been able to read, just a powerhouse-type situation in the suburbs of Nashville. There was another report that came out earlier this week from a local website that covers prep sports in the area that, you know, basically confirmed he would be the head coach. There really hasn't been any comment from him either way just yet, but if he does make that move, Craig, I think you can write that down as a big loss for Silver Creek. Obviously, they're losing some key seniors, as you just mentioned, to college and others as well that will graduate from the program that have meant so much to their success and their run to the state championship game a year ago. But ultimately, Joe Decker put it all together, and I just hate to see him leave the area if this all comes true.
Right. I mean, I asked Joe about it after their loss the other night, and he, you know, basically said no comment and wasn't willing to confirm or deny those reports. So, you know, it sounds like it could be a done deal, but, like you said, it is a big loss. Obviously had a lot of successful years there, especially these recent ones, and that program will still have some talented kids coming back next year. So you hope to see, if Joe's gone, someone take over that's capable, and I'm sure they'll put a search committee together and be able to find somebody interested in that job. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of up-and-coming coaches or maybe someone at a smaller program that's had some success. I'm not real sure how that would play out, but you know, like you say, you get a guy like Holden Grohr, a sophomore that's committed to IU. That's a pretty solid piece to build around right there. So, you know, I'm assuming the youth programs in Sellersburg are in good shape for baseball. Find out more about that this summer. But, you know, I would think there's a chance for someone to come into a pretty good situation there.
Talking with Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. You know, it's interesting because if Coach Decker does vacate the Silver Creek job, you would have Silver Creek open, which just went to the Semi-State, went to the state championship game the year before. Providence is open as well with the retirement of longtime coach Scott Hornung. So there are some traditionally really good baseball jobs that either are open or could be open this upcoming off season, which will be interesting to see what happens and how they get filled.
Absolutely. Yeah. I look forward to kind of getting out there and getting in touch with some people to see what's going on with those two jobs. And, you know, once we get through this Netsby program that's coming up early next week on Tuesday evening, where we hope to see a lot of people come out. Like you said, that's two of the premier jobs in all of the athletics programs here in Southern Indiana, in my opinion, just based on the recent success of both of them and the tradition there. So yeah, absolutely looking forward to seeing who's looking to step up and potentially take those jobs.
And before we close things out with you, Craig, and let you get back to covering the Highlanders at the state golf tournament, we've been previewing and reminding people of the finalists in some of the Netsby Awards sports categories, the News and Tribune Yearly Sports Performance Awards. That ceremony, which is first class and great, look forward to being there with you next week, is coming up very soon. We got a couple sports left still to get to. I think you've got the finalists for baseball and softball today. Now, these have all been written about and details published in the paper and at newsandtribune.com, but we, you know, just wanted to get their names on and remind players of some of the great seasons that local athletes had in the different respective categories. So you've got baseball and softball for us today.
Absolutely, yeah, Matt. We'll have just real quick, too, we'll have track and field, boys and girls, coming up here in the next couple of days, and tennis and golf as well. Obviously, golf is the last day of the season here is today, so we'll have that coming up here later in the week, and look forward to bringing those to you, so look for those. But, yeah, baseball, you know, baseball is, was actually pretty, you know, impressive group. You know, gosh, there's probably 10 guys where in certain years could have been finalists, but you know, our three finalists are Jeffersonville's Bladen McMail, who had just a monster offensive season, 11 homers, 53 RBIs, just had a school record, and just had a huge year for the Red Devils. Tyler Wheeler of Silver Creek, we were just speaking about. He missed a few games, but gosh, the kid hit over 400 and had an ERA right around two, and you know, struck out, you know, a lot of guys, 83 and 50 some innings, and just a great year for Tyler as a senior. And our other one, Stephen Tom of New Albany, helped lead the Bulldogs to number four ranking in the state and had another great year there. Stephen had eight home runs. And then softball wise, speaking of home runs, Taryn Weddle had 18, which is, from my research, one of the top 10 single season home run totals in the nation, with, you know, ranking on the NFHS all-time list there. So it was obviously an impressive season for her. Mariah Grant is the other one who, she racks up triples and doubles like no other. And, you know, that was actually, you know, a heck of a debate for our committee there. So the other one is, drawing a blank. Silver Creek, Abby Whitlock pitched the Dragons into another regional title, so great year for her and the Dragons once again. So good year on the diamond here in Southern Indiana for both sports.
Absolutely. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. He's always with me on Wednesdays to talk local sports, and you can read more of his coverage and the sports team from the News and Tribune at newsandtribune.com. Craig, enjoy the golf tournament. Send some luck to the Highlanders, and we'll talk with you again very soon.
I'll see what I can do. Thanks, Matt.
All right, Craig Pearson, always with us Wednesdays. Checking in this week from the IHSAA Golf State Finals, the boys' golf state finals up in the Indianapolis area. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the program. Summer League basketball continues today at Moore High School in Louisville. Big day. Varsity games start at 2:30. Last game starts at 8:30. I'll be back with you tomorrow here at 11 o'clock on the Big X Sports Radio.